right, everybody, welcome to this week's early special edition of the Fresh Drinks Podcast with Russo and Felice. I, of course, am Paul Russo. Across from me, as always, man today in a, is that maroon? I think it's maroon hoodie. I can't tell.
I think I've wore this before.
But it's Nick Felice. Nick, how you doing, bud?
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You know, geez, you're laying low there.
Yeah, you know, this is not a glitch. That was not a glitch on your phone. We are on at 4:15 in the afternoon, and this might be the first time, Paul.
Yeah.
We might be wide awake for a show.
Yeah, probably collectively speaking anyway, that's for sure. We will... Yeah, I mean, we'll explain now. Obviously, we alluded to it last week, but election day here across America and locally, a lot of contested races. That's why we're going early today, because we got the election night special going on here on FL1 tonight. So I recommend you tune in for that.
What a lineup today.
It really is.
Pennies to pennies, yeah. Fresh takes, yeah. Election day 2019.
Yeah. It's a tremendous lineup.
If you had work off today,
great content,
and you were on your YouTube,
that's me. Pretty much. Well, I had to go in for a little bit, but okay. You know. Anyway,
what do we have on tap, Paul?
Thank you for asking. As always, it is going to be a college-oriented show for the most part today. We got football. We're going to discuss, obviously, college basketball tips off tonight. So we'll discuss that. And then lock of the week. It's going to be a shorter show, so that way we can make way for the other stuff going on tonight, so they can get in here, set up, and get themselves ready.
Like the old days, so, half hour.
So, no, probably it'll probably be closer to 45 minutes. We'll probably be here if you're live with us.
You're lucky.
It will be.
You're lucky I have no,
it will be until it will be until about 5 o'clock, give or take, maybe a little bit after. But we're looking at probably about 45 minutes of talking today, so. Yeah.
And this is the 64th episode of the Fresh Take Podcast.
That How is about that?
A lot of hours.
That is.
If probably. You have been a fan.
Yeah.
But, Paul, I'll let you go. I'll let you go to the show here. Thank you. You know, this is your show.
What? It's both of ours. Hold on. Nick, I don't know if you noticed this, but I'll pull up the two screen here. Fresh Takes Podcast. Now, you guys don't see it on, obviously, the screen, but my mouse I'm using with the computer that Nick also can't see is Fresh Takes Podcast with Russo and Felice.
Yeah.
You know. It's not me. It's not you. It's both.
Yeah, but unless, you're the star. I'm just here.
Unless one of us is on vacation.
That's very true.
Anyway, we'll get into that maybe some other time.
What a start.
Locally, it was a rough college football weekend. Cuse got dismantled, destroyed, whatever you want to call it. Results in their defensive coordinator getting fired. Let me give you, Nick, a stat here for you.
I am waiting.
So, Boston College, A.J. Dillon, who will be a running back on Sundays, had 242 yards of rushing, 3 touchdowns on the ground. Their backup, David Bailey, who very similar build to A.J. Dillon, who has a build that is Saquon-esque, had 172 yards for 2 rushing touchdowns. Steve Adonso comes out after the fact, Boston College head coach, and literally says that they ran the same play pretty much over and over again. How, as a Division I program, I don't care, how is a Division I program... You let the same play dismantle you over and over and over again.
Well, Paul.
How?
We both went to this game.
That's true. Inadvertently, yes.
We tailgated together.
We did. We did.
On rooftops.
It was a parking garage, but yes.
But then we had to leave each other, Paul. Yeah. So, and I...
And then you got lost post-game.
Yes. That's another story. That's an after-show story. But... My brother got these tickets from his company, and these were, if you got $7,000 hanging around, these were executive club seats, awesome seats, open bar, all game, shots, mixed drinks, beers. Honestly, Paul, I remember because it was you were driving, so I was drinking.
Yeah.
On stopping, but you know, I remember Boston College scoring a lot. Mm-hmm. I did not know it was that guy. He just had three touchdowns, but yeah. Oh, and it was all you can eat too. But about the game, yeah, Syracuse, man, they suck. What are we gonna do here, Paul? You came in college football preview show. You said 10-2. They were gonna lose to Clemson, and they were going to have one mishap against Pittsburgh. They've had a mishap against a lot of teams this year, Paul. Explain.
Yeah, that was
DeVito. You a fan?
Well, for one, this week you can't really blame DeVito.
And thanks for driving me on Saturday, by the way.
No problem. Thanks for coming along, obviously. Hard to blame DeVito this game anyway. This was on the defense, that's for sure. I mean, DeVito had himself a really good game, all things considered. 289, 25 of 36, through the air for three touchdowns, also rushed for 61 yards. Was Cuse's leading rusher, actually, so... I was texting, so you met obviously Hank, who comes with me and Jim, and you know we're texting pretty much each other when they fired the DC on Monday, and man, it's hard to see Dino having a long leash next year at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul, the biggest Dino fan. You named your fantasy football team after him.
I did name my fantasy football team after him this year. But
your fantasy football team does have more wins than Syracuse.
We do. We also have less losses than Syracuse. You can't blame DeVito on this one. I don't know if you can really blame the offense on this one. Probably the first time all year I can reasonably say that for the most part.
Boston College.
Even then, though, I feel like the whole staff is going to be under a watchful eye the rest of the year, and then next year I think Dino will be under a watchful eye.
Like, so. It's one thing to lose, but mm-hmm. to get blown out at home to Boston College, that is bad.
Yeah.
Almost nearly as bad when Notre Dame almost lost to Virginia Tech this weekend as well. That could have been bad. But for Notre Dame, the season's over. Syracuse, do they have to win out to get to a bowl?
Yeah, now we do.
Yeah. And two of them are on the road, aren't they?
Yep.
Not good, Cuse fans. But good news, Cuse. Later in the show, we'll get you hyped up for your other team.
Yeah.
Your real team.
It's true.
You have on there Miami over
Florida Miami State. Powers over Florida State.
Did you watch that game? I did not.
I saw clips of it, admittedly. It was...
Was Pat excited about the win?
I'm imagining so. I mean, he seemed pretty happy. Obviously, Willie Taggart gets fired for an astonishing $20 million buyout raised by the boosters. So that's pretty impressive, not going to lie. But... Yeah, Florida State, a lot of interesting names have been tagged to that job recently. Obviously, the big name today has been Bob Stoops. For Florida State, and I've seen like Lane Kiffin, a couple other people. But those two seem to be the names with, I guess, maybe the most traction. So we'll see, I guess, with them. Yeah, that team's bad, and we got blown out by them up here for Cuse. So yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah.
But you think Urban Meyer to USC?
Yeah, that seems to be another one that's gaining traction. Apparently there was a USC account that was followed by Urban Meyer. He retweeted something and then unfollowed them. So it seems to be the one that's tracking, which kind of sucks. Clay Helton's kind of had a pretty good year. I'd call it maybe a year saver for him. But, you know, USC, again, is a program that isn't really used to this in the past decade or so. They need to be better.
I love to see Urban Meyer be Notre Dame's coach.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'd be pretty happy right now with Brian Kelly if I were you.
Only really?
Because, yeah.
Urban Meyer cheats.
Well, yeah, Urban Meyer cheats. And
I want a cheater, man.
Urban Meyer also,
you gotta cheat the way.
Urban Meyer also hides murderers on his team, so.
And he also, does he fake injuries every time he wants to get leave a job?
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway. But yeah, if you're Notre Dame, I don't think you want to move currently. This is not to say it's a fluke year for you guys, but you guys are dinged up a little bit offensively at this point again, and it happens. So
a year we just gotta forget about.
Yeah, yeah. Please forget about your two losses, and being ranked still 15th in the country. So
yeah, I know, but you know, no offense, but we have higher expectations.
Thanks, thanks.
Syracuse football, they need, if they had put together like another good year this year, then the expectations go up. But
that's
one
true.
Good year.
Maybe some other games to quick get in before we kind of move on.
I know you want to see it.
See what?
Syracuse, a football school, but
well,
is it ever going to happen?
No, not at this rate. Let's see, SMU. This was a very offensive battle, offensive game.
Your brother could have won a parlay.
Memphis downs SMU on primetime Saturday night, 54-48. For those keeping track at home, that's 102 combined points. I'd say they cleared the over-under pretty good.
I've never seen 100 over-under, but.
Let's see what else. Wake Forest, stay status quo with their season. They pretty much dominated NC State the whole way. Oregon quietly making their way back in the playoff picture again. Not too sure what their realistic chances are, but if teams kind of fall the right way, I suppose they have a shot.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
The college football playoff comes out this week.
Yep, tonight's announcing of it. Is it in between the game? I think it's in between the college basketball games that they're doing it.
Probably.
Yeah.
But does Clemson get in the top four?
I'd have to put Clemson in the top four still. They haven't lost. They're saving grace for them so far this year is that they haven't lost.
Neither has Penn State.
Same token, though. I understand. I'd still put Clemson. I think Clemson is the better team than Penn State is.
But I think there's no doubt that LSU, Alabama, and Ohio State will be in
there. Yeah, if I had to do my top four, I'd probably go LSU, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson in that order right now.
That's what people are saying. It's just either Clemson or is it Penn State.
And then you got people. The bigger dilemma, I think, for people is, which is weird that we're saying it, the first two out appears to be the bigger dilemma for people. Penn State, I feel like Penn State's automatically in there. It depends where you really honestly want to slot them at 5 or 6. But then the option is, and this is how I bring it up, a lot of people are sticking Oregon in there. You have people still pulling for Florida to put them in Florida, not Florida, Georgia in there. So it will be interesting in that regard. Things are going to heat up pretty quick.
No Michigan.
Yeah, no Michigan. looking ahead for the week ahead for games, you have two what I'd call for sure games that you need to watch on Saturday.
Well, one.
Well, for you, it's always one.
No, I mean, well, I'm saying, well, there's the one, obviously.
Yeah. Well,
LSU.
Yeah, LSU, Bama, which I'm pretty sure they're going game day to there.
Not surprising. What's the other one you were saying?
Number 5, Penn State at number 13, Minnesota. Both are unbeaten. Right. Big matchup in the Big Ten.
Do you think Minnesota's for real?
I don't know if they're for real, but this is certainly a big upset watch, I'd say, for Penn State. The Minnesota team is good. I wouldn't say they're Penn State good.
What about a team that's like Minnesota?
Yep.
I think Baylor, aren't they undefeated too?
Baylor's undefeated at 11. They have a tough, I will call it a tough road game. I think they should win.
Are they for real?
No. I don't. That Baylor team doesn't jump off the paper for me. They have If you want to talk about Clemson's weaker schedule, Baylor's had a fairly weak schedule.
So do you think Minnesota is better than Baylor?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if they were the matchup, I'd say Baylor, like, nine times out of ten would probably
lose,
yeah. Then some other games of semi-importance. Notre Dame's on the road at Duke. Duke, not to say really needs it. They're kind of on the skids for being what people thought would be a potential playoff buster type team if you were to come across them midseason.
Syracuse on the bye.
Syracuse is idle this week, which
then they're helps. At Duke.
Then they're at Duke. Wake Forest is going to have a tough road matchup against Tech this week. I'd still take Wake over them pretty much. Ohio State's home against Maryland. You have another ranked Big Ten matchup that won't get the press it probably deserves because both teams have kind of fluttered. Iowa, number 18, is on the road against Wisconsin, number 16. So
they both were up there.
Some big implications, at least conference-wise, in that game. Probably not as big as it should be nationally, as we probably all thought it would be a few weeks ago. But that's that. Anything else for you, Nick, before we head out? For college football, anyway?
Alabama's going to win the game by double digits.
No. Stop. Wow. I don't know.
Record.
I have a hard time believing that. I really do.
It's at.
I have a hard time believing that. Where is it? It's in Alabama.
Yeah. Double digits.
And I don't know. I don't think so. Beg to differ.
Okay.
But, hey, that's the beauty of the game. I think the LSU team's tough, man.
But speaking of Alabama, did you see Amari Cooper's touchdown last night?
That wasn't Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper had a touchdown?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the cool one.
Gallops.
Yeah.
I was trying to transition, Paul.
Seamless.
And you go to me. He did play for Alabama, didn't he, Cooper?
Yes.
Yes. Well, here we are, talking NFL week.
I don't want to talk about that stupid game last night with that stupid cat. Freaking hate
that
cats.
That cat had rabies.
I freaking hate cats.
Did you see that one video on Facebook?
Yeah.
The cats on the TV, yeah. Watching the TV.
Freaking hate cats. Screw cats.
That cat was scary. So, I'm going to do the intro here.
What?
I'm going to do the intro here.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, here let's switch it up. It's during the day. So here we are. It's NFL Week 9.
Yes. Was Week 9.
Was Week 9. Now it's Week 10. Trade deadline was last week.
Mm-hmm.
No big names around the trade deadline. Some. Nothing huge. You know, Kenyon Drake, he played well. But our fantasy league, our trade deadline is tomorrow at noon.
Yep.
And I am talking to this Fletch kid in our league, Fletcher Reese.
What do you mean, this Fletch kid?
We're talking to him. Trying to get Kamara. Might have traded Aaron Jones. Or maybe Breeze Rodgers. Trying to get that combo either way. But anyway, Week 9. I'll say Week 9 was interesting.
Excellent coverage.
Patriots came down to earth because they actually played a real good team. There's someone worse than the Dolphins. Seahawks Niners going to be a great game this week. Some other things I'm trying to just top in my head. Ravens, are they for real? Speaking of that Patriots game, are they for real? AFC South, still can't figure it out. Packers, were they on the bye this week? Last thing I need to say.
You're good?
Yes, I'm trying to think of some headlines. Should Jacksonville just stay in London?
No.
Anyway, Paul, you take over.
Thank you.
You're better at this intro.
Yeah, you're right, I am. I'll toot my own horn on that one. Chargers stay in London. Jaguars stay in London. Yeah. Let's start here. We'll stay locally. The Bills roll on against my Redskins. Bills fans, I think you guys got a pretty solid team. It's a shame that the Patriots' weak-ass schedule is aiding them along a little bit. you know, if I'm Bills Mafia, I think I'd start really getting excited for the playoffs here already. I know.
Do they have a shot at the division?
They're halfway through.
If they go
into Foxborough and beat the Patriots, yeah, I think that's like last week of the year though. So.
Hey, last week of the year.
I don't know. I mean, you still have a shot. I'm not saying it's completely out of the question.
They should have won that one in Buffalo.
Yeah. But, you know.
Should have, would have.
Proves to be, it will be interesting down the stretch with the Bills. The Dolphins get a win against a very bad Jets team at this point.
But is there someone even worse than the Jets?
Yeah, the Redskins.
The Bengals?
Oh, well.
Your favorite team?
Bengals were on the bye this week, so whatever. The Bungles.
Even Atlanta's bad, too.
Yeah. One remaining unbeaten in the 49ers. I think that might change this week, but we'll get into that portion of it, you know, in a couple minutes.
Really,
here.
With Pete Carroll Nazi?
Yes. yeah, the Packers showed exactly why I don't have faith in that team this past weekend. Yeah. Man, people were bashing your Giants last night. I didn't think they played that bad.
It's not how the game was played.
No.
That game was a lot
closer. By the way, and I saw people saying both, like, oh, the refs are screwing the Giants, the refs are screwing the Cowboys. No, the refs literally, that was like one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say they were favoring one side or the other when they weren't. They were just... They were doing terrible last night.
The Giants had plenty of chances to score, and they had to settle for a field goal.
Like they, a lot. Yeah.
The Rojas, what do you get? Four field goals?
I think four, yeah.
Like, they had chances.
Yeah, it was four because the Giants only had the one touchdown.
They had chances to win that game. Yeah. Cowboys, I don't care that they're in first place. You, Redskins fan, Giants fan, they suck.
Even Eagles fans.
Like... Have the Eagles turned your opinion in the last couple weeks?
Not fully.
Like, I think they could still win this division because I'm not high on the Cowboys.
I'll put it to you like this. They were struggling against that Bears defense bad for a while. And it comes back to the old adage, you know, the best offense is a good defense. But when your defense is pretty much on the field 24-7, eventually they're going to get cracked.
Yep.
So...
I don't know. I think the Eagles can still win this division.
Yeah.
I do not like the Dallas Cowboys. Like,
I mean, unfortunately, I'd like to fully agree with you, but...
We'll see.
The Cowboys rushing game with Zeke is head and shoulders above the Eagles.
The one thing that sucks, if the Cowboys win the division, and my brother's a Seahawks fan, they could get screwed and play in Dallas... In the wild card round. And this is the wild card round. The refs, like you were saying, mm-hmm. I know it was both teams yesterday, but wild card round, I've noticed Cowboys always get the calls in that wild card round. They will do anything they can to at least have them win one playoff game.
Well, I think the Seahawks will be lucky. I think they win the division still. So
big Monday night game.
Yeah.
But, because... As also a Detroit Lions fan, I remember. I know you guys say, Diz caught the ball, Dad's caught the ball. If you didn't pick up that flag, that stupid ref in that Lions game, Lions would have been playing. Who was it, Packers?
Yeah.
When Diz didn't catch the ball. Diz shouldn't even been in that game.
Whoa.
They should have lost to the Lions.
It's true.
That was a clear pass interference. They picked up the flag. I remember that game. But anyway, that's not week 9 of 2019. But big Seahawks Niners game, ESPN finally got a good game.
Hooray!
But they will get a terrible playoff game, like they do every year.
We aren't discussing the Patriots loss. Like they finally get up against a decent team and pretty much fold.
Oh, about time they played a good team.
I called it too. People didn't like, you know, the Ravens.
It was on the road.
It was on, well, for the Patriots.
Yep.
But. I said during the week, I'm like, Ravens are going to win. Like, Lamar Jackson.
He's a what?
You can say what you want, but he still has a freaking gun for an arm. Like, that dude is the closest thing we're going to get to Michael Vick, hopefully, minus, you know, the illegal activities alongside of it.
He's definitely like the righty Michael
Vick. Yeah, I mean, he is. He's so good. Like, he's a video game out there. He really is. But that was a fun game to watch. It really was. And Patriots played bad. I mean,
we can't.
Brady literally. I think people are finally starting to realize that Brady is starting to show signs in the armor that he's getting there. Like, he's not. There were a couple throws that just were flat on Sunday. You didn't. They're just bad.
41 years old. It's finally getting to him.
Yeah.
He's got an awesome defense, which is going to get him to the playoffs. Yeah. But I don't remember who said it. I think it was your brother or you told me they should be like 4-4-1 or something.
I don't know. I don't think either one of us said that, but like, man, you plug like, say like a Jacoby Brissett even in there, like I have a hard time believing that they go what they've gotten so far.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a knock on the wide receiving core, but man, like you can't even trust like even from like a fantasy side of things, like putting anyone Patriots offensively in your lineup at this point. It's just not worth it. So,
but we can't go talking week 9 without talking about your Browns.
My Browns?
Yes.
So, okay. Well,
you were a big high believer in the Browns.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
Like they could
You want to what? And I'm sick of, so not to be a full-fledged defender of the, like some of the stuff here, but like you and Matt haven't been on it as much lately. But, like, people were, like, talking about how, like, Odell and Jarvis were undisciplined for wearing those cleats. Well, like, here's the thing. They would have been fine had the Browns not made a midweek uniform change and not really have told players about it until Saturday.
Yeah. I didn't know
that. Like, they were planning on wearing the whites, which would have made the cleats that Jarvis and Odell planned on wearing legal until – and then you tell – and then that's also part that pisses me off about this is – why did the NFL wait until halftime to tell them that they had to take the cleats off or else they wouldn't play? Like, that should be a pregame thing.
I know.
Right?
It's like they didn't notice.
Yeah. So I'm kind of sick of people, at least on the Odell side of it, trying to bait him into making a story. You know what I mean?
Mm.
In a way. It's hard for – and, like, that's the thing, too. Like, I have Odell on my fantasy team. Like, there's no way I can just sit him still. You know what I mean?
You have to play.
For me, it's hard to look at him at this point still, unfortunately, and go, yeah, it's his fault. When in actuality, and it's hard for me to even still blame Baker, I think. I think a head coach in Freddie Kitchens who I think he's a really great offensive coordinator. I don't think he should be head coach. I think you look at it, I think, if he was in the offensive coordinator role and he had a different head coach, I think this Browns team is probably what a lot of us believe them to be this year.
I think they got blinded when Freddie Kitchens led them to over 500 last year.
Yeah.
In a small sample size to be a head coach.
Yeah. You know, I said I think at the beginning, I think they should have hired Greg Williams, which it gives you a guy who has experience, who has – over the course of his time, several different interim head coaching experience, but at least he had that experience, and he had the respect of players. Not to say Freddie Kitchens maybe doesn't have the respect of players, but this is literally his first time head coaching anywhere. Greg Williams did have some head coaching experience when, you know, he was the interim in places. But, you know, you look at a couple of the instances, too. There was one play where the end of the game. Well, what was the end of the game for the Browns at that point? Odell streaking up the sideline, beat his defender, and Baker just missed him. Went for Jarvis in double coverage.
Yep.
Which, you know, I don't care that it was fourth down. I get that logic to a degree, but you have Odell streaking the sideline wide open for a touchdown when you're just outside the red zone. That's football 101, baby.
I heard a stat today. Odell has 3 red zone targets.
Yeah.
That's one less than their backup tight end.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. You think about, like, the Browns. Like, they didn't have Nick Chubb in for, like, the stretch run. They had who's the backup? That Dillard guy, whatever the hell his name is. So.
And you're talking about bad teams. Browns are one of those teams. Like, when's he start thinking?
That's the part that sucks. That's the part that sucks. Like, I don't know if they're like bad. If they're just so, I don't know if they're so much bad. They're just
they've had a tough
bad first, coach. I think they're bad coached more or less.
They've had a tough first half schedule.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Doesn't get any better for him this week. Let's go through our predictions.
Tough quick. To get out of 2-6 hole.
Yeah, let's go through our predictions quick. We're kind of not running out of time, but we're coming up against a little bit of a clock issue. So
let's get through it.
Thursday night this week, the Chargers make the trip north to Oakland.
Oakland playing home games again. Yep. I got Oakland.
I like Oakland. This is a solid team starting to come around a little bit. So.
Chargers a little high off that easy win this week.
Battle in MetLife. I think this is their first regular. I could be wrong. First regular season meeting since 2015, but I could be wrong. Giants at the Jets.
Probably is. I got the Giants in this one.
Yeah, I'm going Giants as well. That Jets team is rough right now.
I can't pick them.
Chiefs at Titans, Patrick Mahomes still on a limb as if he will play or not. I haven't seen any indication today of what side they're leaning, but Matt Moore has done a really good job filling in. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Kansas City where?
At Tennessee.
I got the Chiefs.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs as well.
Doesn't matter. We're going to get this win.
Falcons at the Saints. Saints. Yeah. Another one of these games. Ravens at Cincinnati.
Ravens.
I think this is possibly being the same thing. Bills at the Browns.
Bills.
Okay. Lions at Chicago.
That will be a close game, I think. Bills, Browns.
Really?
Yeah.
The Lions at the Bears. This is a tough little matchup for your Lions, I think. Outdoors in Chicago.
Both these teams need a win.
Yeah.
I got the Bears.
I'm going the same way. I'm going the same way. That game's going to be close, though.
Yeah, it will be.
The Cardinals come to the East Coast to play the Buccaneers. 1 o'clock still.
Got the Cardinals on the road.
Same. I got the Cardinals as well. We've picked at the same team every game so far.
Stop it.
My bad. First of the 4 o'clock games, the Dolphins against the Colts. Jacoby Brissett, questionable still technically. Don't know how. Brian Hoyer will be quarterback there, by the way.
If Brissett does not play, I got the Dolphins.
See, I'd like to agree with you. I just I don't think I'd go against the Colts.
I am picking Dolphins regardless.
I'm going Colts.
All right. Going Dolphins.
Panthers at Green Bay.
Panthers at Green Bay. Green Bay's going to get figured out.
I'm going Green Bay. I just at some point Kyle Allen has to come back down to earth, right?
Did a couple weeks ago.
Well, still though, he had a really good game again this past week.
Panthers are good though. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, MVP.
This was their first trip though north of the Mason-Dixon line in this weather, so
I got Green Bay bouncing back.
Okay, I got Green Bay as well. Rams come to the East Coast. Play the Steelers.
Now, here's the thing. I picked Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I picked Pittsburgh. Yeah. I thought my Pittsburgh, that was my Super Bowl pick. I thought my Pittsburgh pick was dead. You know, they're the 7 seed right now in the AFC.
Yeah. I'd call it a very deceptive 7
seed. And they're still going to be in the hunt, but I got the Rams this week. Steelers will still be in the hunt.
Yeah, I'm going Rams.
Yeah, I got Rams.
I can't buy into that Pittsburgh team overall, especially if Connor's out. So,
as long as they're playing bad teams.
Sunday night football, Vikings on the road in Dallas.
Who are you going with?
I'm going Vikings. Yeah, here it is. Hold on. All right, go ahead.
Why, Paul?
There we go.
I'm going to pick the Cowboys in this game.
Yeah.
It's Sunday night. It's not. This isn't like.
Here we are. That's what we were just talking about.
This isn't really a disrespectful why. This is more of a. We're going to add it into the show.
Okay. You need to get it in before.
Yeah. I've got Dallas. They're going to get the calls on Sunday football.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what time they're playing. They're going to get the calls, and I think they're going to win at home against the Vikings.
Okay. And then.
Because Monday night, I think we're agreeing.
Yeah. Monday night, Seahawks at 49ers. I'm going to go Seahawks.
Seahawks. I've picked against the Niners like 4 straight times or something like crazy like that. I keep saying the undefeated is going to end.
Really?
It's ended this week. And by the way, Paul, you have a 1-game lead.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't pick last week. But
one game league.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump in here quick. We gotta get her done.
Get her done.
College basketball preview. College season tip already technically tipped off, but yeah. the main stuff that you all care about tips off tonight with the Champions Classic. That would be first game at 7 o'clock from MSG. Number 3 in the country, Kansas, going against number 4 Duke, and then. Following that game, tentatively scheduled for, I believe, when it's technically 9:30, you have number 1 ranked Michigan State going against number 2 Kentucky. Doesn't get any better than this at this point. If you're a basketball fan overall, if you're a college sports fan, this is the time of year, college and football going on at the same time. But there's something about college basketball that really excites us. I want to start here because, you know, our friend Justin, who was on the pod with us a couple weeks ago, kind of brought it up today, and I haven't really taken full weight of it, only because they have a still fresh head coach in Penny Hardaway. Memphis has one of the best recruiting classes in the country. They're coming in the season ranked 14th in the AP, 15th in the coaches poll. I'm not too sure if I can fully buy into the hype. I think that American Conference is going to be a bit down this year overall. So I have a hard time fully jumping on board with that. That being said, sometimes that works out well in the favor of these teams. You get a little bit, college basketball is obviously a very long season for collegiate athletes. You know, you think about you're starting, at least game-wise, you start now early November, and you're going through mid-April pretty much, Although really it's kind of early April, but, the way it falls sometimes, you could be going through mid-April. That being said, like I said, it kind of helps sometimes these teams get through for the long haul. Look at Villanova. As good as they were, we thought that they were maybe a bit overrated their last championship run in 2018. That being said, hey, it kind of worked out in their favor. They had a nice, not to say you could rest people, but you could kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit and, kind of use it to your advantage in a little way. That being said, you also have some teams like Gonzaga every year who, they're good, and then they get to tournament time and, they're out second weekend. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Paul, as you know, I'm a big college basketball fan.
Yep.
Since we're short on time, I'm just going to.
We can go a little bit longer than what we initially planned.
I'm
going
to give you a little
bit
of a, since this is a local.
Yeah.
Network.
Of course.
I'm going to give an ACC preview.
Well, yeah.
There's some
power. The powerhouse conference.
It is. It is the powerhouse conference. When I look at the ACC conference, I look at there's four different sections of the ACC conference. You have your favorites, the top dogs. You have your contenders. You have your bubble teams. And you have your teams that are just. They're not going to be good this year. And you look at it, of course, the standings is not popping up, but I see the teams here. You look at it, there's three top dogs this year in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
That is Duke, that is North Carolina, and that is Louisville. I think these three teams are the favorites to win the conference. In fun fact, Duke has not won the ACC regular season since 2010.
How about that?
If this was around the horn, you would get me points right there, Paul. Reality, give me some points.
Ding, ding.
But so those are the top three teams. Then there's the contender teams. There's the defending champs. You can't forget about them. Virginia, NC State. I would put in there. Florida State, those three. Put those three. Those NC State's an up-and-coming team, Florida State, and then, of course, Virginia. Still got one of the best coaches in the league. They're the defending champs. You can't forget about them. Then you got a bunch of bubble teams in the mix. You got Pittsburgh. You got, even though they're, I just confirmed today, they are not eligible for the postseason play, Georgia Tech with the scandals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not a bad little team this year. I like them. Don't know how they're going to be affected knowing that they can't play playoffs all year. So there's only 14 teams make the ACC tournament this year. But them, and then I would put like Syracuse and my team, Notre Dame. Syracuse, Notre Dame, they're right in the bubble. Not sure. They might be around 500. Some teams that are just not going to really contend all year. Oh, and Miami. Miami's in those bubble teams, too. So that's five teams plus six is 11. So there's four other teams. Clemson probably not going to be very good this year. They could maybe bump into the bubble. They're not going to be very good. Boston College's coach, he's on the hot seat this year.
Yep.
Lost his players. It's not going to be good. Wake Forest, they always have some problems. It just they don't get the players. And then Virginia Tech, probably the worst team in the conference this year. They lost Buzz Williams, lost their best players. It's not going to be good if you're a Virginia Tech fan. But let's talk more about Syracuse. So Syracuse, I'm a Notre Dame fan. Syracuse and Notre Dame, about the same type of team this year. But Syracuse, they have their starting five ready. Paul, they got Carey. I would assume Buddy's going to be starting.
Yeah.
Dolajai, Sidibe, and Elijah Hughes. That's the starting five, and then they got a young bench. Elijah Hughes, I think, is going to have to be the go-to scorer for this team. Dolajai's going to have to put up some more numbers this year, and Buddy, he's young. He's working it in. But the key to Syracuse this year is their point guard play, and that is Carey. I forget what his first name. What's his first name?
Jalen.
Jalen Carey. He played overseas with a couple Notre Dame guys this year, Durham and Goodwin. It's a big year out of Jalen Carey. What do you think? What do you think of him?
So, I'm a big Jalen Carey fan. I thought Boeheim kind of messed around with it, unfortunately. Yeah, so I don't know exactly what the starting lineup should be. You know, so I think if you're looking from like the outside of it, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think you'll see it tomorrow being they open with Virginia with the new scheduling. That being said, I think once they get into like their non-conference, the weaker stuff a little bit within the week, 2 weeks here, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lineup that is so you're going to have to kind of follow me here. I think you'll see Jalen Carey start. I think you'll see Buddy Boeheim start. And you'll always see Elijah Hughes start no matter what. I think you'll see Dolajai start for the most part. And I think from there it's a toss-up personally for me between – and this is what I said. I think it's going to depend a little bit. Do you go Sidibe or do you go Jesse Edwards or do you go even Jumbo Ajak?
Those are some young names.
Yeah. That's probably what I'd personally go with. I'd go probably with Jesse Edwards, I think. Only because Sidibe is really good off the bench. I don't know if I'd want to really fully mess that up.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and also the guy to keep an eye on, to me anyway, is Howard Washington. I think you're going to have to get hit sometime. He probably deserves a starting spot, too. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of what they do there. But then you also have some other – you also got some good young product in. Obviously, that they aren't your five stars. But, you know, I'm going to end up mispronouncing his first name because he's from Montreal – or last name because he's from Montreal. But Quincy I'm going to mispronounce him. I'm frightening myself out of it. Guerri. Guerriere, I think is how you pronounce it. I could be wrong. But he'll get some time. And then Robert Braswell as well, a sophomore, has really done really well so far in the preseason. And I'm pretty excited for him to see how he goes. So, you know, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not expecting this team to come out and light the world on fire. That being said, you know, I don't think it's in the best interest to exactly sleep on them. I wouldn't be surprised if this team is ranked by the end of the year. They did get a couple preseason votes to be ranked anyway. So, yeah, you know, I think from the casual, not even casual, I think, you know, if you're a fan of another team that thinks Syracuse will be bad, sure, you might be right, but I don't think you're going to be.
So, keep in mind, ACC, so there's every team but Duke this year is starting off an ACC game.
Yep.
And you also have one in December.
It's true.
So you have 20 ACC games this year. You got to keep in mind that if Syracuse can go 10-10, this is the same case for my Notre Dame team. If they can go 10-10, I think you're in the tournament. I think 10-10, maybe some quality wins in there. Got to dominate your non-conference schedule. Notre Dame and Syracuse, not known for their tough non-conference schedules. Got to dominate those. I think if you get 10-10, you're in the tournament. Maybe win a couple games in the ACC tournament. Who knows? Just, I think the ACC is the front runner. They are the top conference once again. And don't be shocked by it. The NCAA giving some love to some mid-majors. Mm-hmm. Mid-majors, Gonzaga, they have, for the last 2 decades, they have started the trend of mid-majors in college basketball. And they're going to continue to give love. So you're going to see teams like, I don't know who it is this year, but like last year was Furham, those type of teams. Can't think of another one off the top of my head, but Furham's the only one that I remember. They didn't even get in, but teams like that, they're going to be – they're going to put a mid-major in over a mediocre big conference team. ACC, SEC, they're the top two. I still think Big 12, Big 10, right there. Big East, give some love to the Big East. Seton Hall, expected to have a big year. Memphis, I'm not buying Memphis. Don't get – and I know they're young. I know they're young, but I've seen – was it Vanderbilt last year had a good recruiting class? What'd they do? And they were in a bigger conference. Memphis might do better in a weaker conference. Not buying Memphis. Got to watch them play. I am buying in on Louisville. If I didn't have to pick Notre Dame, I'm buying on Notre Dame this year. High on them. Don't want to get them. But if I'm buying one team, Nuora of Louisville, ACC Player of the Year candidate. But big games tonight. ACC Network makes its debut to college basketball. Call Spectrum. Order that. Get on it. I got to do that. But that's really it. You know, we're going to be talking throughout the season. Syracuse, dome better be packed tomorrow night.
It should be.
Defending champs are in town. I don't know if that's ever happened in dome history. So
not the first game, I don't think.
No, not the first game of the season. So that's nuts. So.
All right. So before I turn the camera to me, for me, prediction, who will be cutting the net?
College basketball is tough because you don't know what the bracket is.
No.
Because college football, you can
– the most absurd thing ever. Just pick a team.
All right. I am going Louisville.
Oh, no. We're gonna
get beat.
Oh,
by Michigan State.
I was just gonna pick Louisville outright. I was gonna pick Louisville.
Really?
I'm not getting into who they're gonna beat. I don't know who the hell they're gonna beat.
One team.
They could beat Wofford again. I don't know.
Wofford. That's your pick.
No. I'm going Louisville over Oregon. I don't know.
Okay. We're gone.
All right. We're going to move on. Last quick thing before we get out of here.
Lock of the week.
I'll go first. Boston College, -1.5 at home against Florida State.
I did have my Boston College. What is it? Football?
Yep.
My lock of the week. Hold on. Let me get it real quick right here. I got it. It is tonight. It's a night goal. It's at 8 o'clock. Go to it. Mm-hmm. Alabama State at Gonzaga in college basketball. Number 8 Gonzaga. Favored by 35.5. There's a reason. Take Gonzaga.
All right. And then, Nick, I'm going to keep it on you since we need to get out of here. Who are you shouting out today?
Shout out a Jerry 1 Fantasy Basketball legend, Evander Hummer. Not off to the best start in fantasy basketball. Shout out, Evander. Set your lineup. Shout out, Evander. Have a good night.
All right. And then,
as always. Should we say good evening now?
Enjoy dinner. Anyway, that takes care of. We'll be back as far as I know, normal time next week, 10 o'clock, live wise. Like I said, tune in tonight for the election night live special 2019. That's brought to you by Midday, Maris, and Ricky. So for me and Nick, thanks again as always. Like, share, subscribe. We'll catch you guys next week on the Fresh Shakes Podcast.